Well, praise God. We've got a special treat today. Pastor Josh is going to minister the word. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you for letting me minister again. I feel like it was just last week that I did. When was the last time? Yeah. Man. That's great. No, I'm enjoying it. And so I have something interesting to talk about today. The Lord dropped this phrase in my heart probably a month ago. And it was called, the phrase was Kingdom Contributors. And it didn't make sense. That's my little girl saying daddy back there. didn't make sense at the time, but it does now. When Pastor Wade asked me to minister, this plugs right in as a part three to Walking with God. So that's what we're going to talk about. It's going to be part three. And there are no overheads, so you have to read that Bible thing you brought. Okay? I did that on purpose because I have a few little bullets, but I just know that this is a thing that we just need to get in here. Amen? We're talking about spiritual things. So with this particular type of message, I don't want to organize the Lord right out of it, if that makes sense. All right? So let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Father, I just thank you for today and your presence. God, we thank you for your goodness. You are a good God. We love you, Lord. It's an honor to minister to you and praise you. And God, I just ask you, Lord, I know this is a central theme for you in your word and in the new covenant. God, I ask you to just speak to the hearts that are listening. We all purpose right now to hear what the Spirit says. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, I want to do a survey. You're allowed to say it out loud. What is the kingdom of God? It's usually the response, which is why I wanted to teach on it. When we talk about what the kingdom is, it's usually this vague, spooky thing, and everybody has a different answer. And you know what I mean? Like, does anybody else register with that? Like, we say it's the kingdom of God, and it's like, okay, well, another guy said a different thing last week, and we all clapped. So which is it, right? So I want to talk about the kingdom because this is a crucial part of walking with God, right? It's inescapable how many times you look in the New Covenant and the Gospels, and the word kingdom is in there. It's all over the place. But what is it? Okay? So first of all, what it isn't. I want to just club a few cows if I can. I like steak, so that works right out really well. What it isn't is programs. It's true. It's not a program. What it isn't is a building. Am I right? Because, man, it'd be awful if you could burn the kingdom down, the devil would have done it. Am I right? Okay. I won't skip ahead. That's enough clubbing. Two is enough. So, the first question is, what is the kingdom of God? Later on, we're going to ask, how do we participate in the kingdom? Does anybody want to know that? Because that's the next big thing. We always seem to be a little vague on what the kingdom is, but then the next question is, okay, what do I do? Right? Where is the kingdom? What am I supposed to do? Right? This can be a stalling thought if you really get to this place and think about it. All right, so I have a few scriptures. Go to Mark 4 and 26. What we're going to do is we're going to do a little survey and look at, you know, there's so many times, this is probably a quarter of the times that Jesus mentioned the kingdom, okay? So we could go on and on and on and on. But it's funny, Jesus used so many different examples for what the kingdom is. So many, okay? But they all point to one thing, I'm not going to give it away yet. So Mark 4, verse 26, going to come in the light. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself. Say, by itself. Okay. Here's the first thing that the kingdom is. It's its own thing. It's natural. It's automatic. It's not something we force. Did you see that? The kingdom and the growing of a seed are the same in the Lord's eyes. It's not something we can peddle harder and make it happen. It's natural. Okay? It'll make sense. We're going to keep going. Go to Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 13. You guys with me? Not falling asleep? Because we'll all make fun of you. All right. Mark 10, 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the what? The kingdom." Guess what else the kingdom is? It's inclusive. It's not exclusive. It's not hard to get into. It's something you can walk up and touch. You see that? It's going to get better. All right, let's go to Mark 12. This has been so great because I got this new audio Bible where it's got Jim Caviezel, the guy that played Jesus in The Passion, narrating it. Oh, I cry a lot. Oh, boy. And I just got done with Luke, and so I'm just like, I'm so full of this. I'm absolutely enjoying it. Mark 12, verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all, excuse me. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So he goes on to quote this. I'm skipping ahead to verse 32. Pay close attention here. Don't breeze over this. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now listen to this. So this scribe agrees with Jesus and finishes his sentence. You know, he's like, they're talking shop, okay? Listen to what Jesus says. "You're not far from the kingdom." Here's another thing the kingdom is it's love. That scribe pulled out of that verse that he was referring to, it was love. And Jesus went, "You're really close to the kingdom. You're really close." Okay? You guys getting a picture here? It's going to get clearer. Luke 9. Luke 9, and let's do 62. It's the last verse. Just to make it easy on you. You know, let's do 61, the verse before, for context. And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Listen to what Jesus said. "But no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom." You know what else the kingdom is? Absolute. The kingdom is not gray. The kingdom is not partial. It's not lukewarm. You know, Jesus used this kind of language that would get, I mean, people riled today. Because everybody wants balance. Everybody wants the middle ground and the compromise. And he said, no, you're hot or you're cold. You gather or scatter. You're for or against. You're saved or you're lost. God's an absolutist. There are absolutes. Am I telling the truth? The kingdom is a place of absolutes. It doesn't work with one foot in. You guys ever heard the story of the fence? You have? I think you have. We've talked about it. So there was this guy. He had a dream, and he was sitting on a fence. And he was very aware that one side of the fence was the Lord, and the other side was rejection of the Lord. And the devil walks up to him in this dream and says, oh, I see you've made your choice. The guy goes, no, I haven't. He goes, sure you have. The fence is mine. Did you hear what I said? It's absolutely true. The fence belongs to the enemy. Amen? We're going to keep going. I know the way I'm ministering this. Let me say I'm aware that it's a little vague at this point, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. There's a purpose. John 3, let's go there. John 3 and verse 3. His name is not Jesus, guys. I promise. Read your Bible. The pastor pronounces words wrong. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can one be born when he is old? He's basically asking a really stupid question. It's just the densest response. No, Jesus is not expecting you to crawl in your mother's womb. That's absurd. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, say Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Here's what else the kingdom is. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. This guy is looking for a physical, mechanical way to observe and measure and see the kingdom. And Jesus is going, ain't gonna find it. It's spiritual. You can't even see it unless you're born again. Okay? Romans 14. Got one more after this, and then I'm going to pull the curtain back, okay? Is it okay to read a bunch of scripture? Amen. I'm convinced we could just about have a revival if all we did was read the scripture aloud together. I got to tell you a little side note that I just remembered. Did you know that reading silently was an invention of the past 100 years? Every culture in the history of the earth has read aloud until the last 100 years. It makes the scripture come to life a little when you hear, faith comes by hearing. If one will speak the word, right? I've been thinking of it differently. I really have. Reading silently is, it's only a modern invention. Rome, what did I tell you? I went to the wrong book. Oops. Romans 14. Let's go to verse 16. Now, I will just tell you, Romans, this area of Romans, like 12 and 14, awesome, awesome chapters. Particularly this one, 14. It's talking about how to walk in love. And it's not with what you would think. Usually in this culture, in this society, we're pretty like dogmatic about, you know, like, anybody know a vegetarian? You're sure they're a vegetarian, aren't you? Because they tell you, right? Then there's the opposite guy, which is like the meatitarian, the carnivore, okay? Yes. Yeah, I've decimated the cow population. I'm not sorry about it. Well, you get two of those type of people in a room, and what happens? It can get tense really quick, can it? Right? Neither of them are walking in love. And Romans 14 is all about that. It's like, look, you are beating up someone for whom Christ died. They stand and fall to their master. It's none of your business. So anyway, side note, that was free. Let's look at verse 16. Is that what I said? Somebody's helping me in the back. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God, that's what we're talking about, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Guess what else the kingdom is? It is emotional. Now, if you didn't notice, righteousness, peace, and joy, two of those are emotions. Are they not? Okay. Last one is Luke 17. Are you ready? It's fixing to get seriously good, if I do say so myself. Luke 17, verse 20. Okay. Luke 17, 20. Everybody there? That was exciting. That means somebody's spying. That's spy music. It's okay. That is all right. This was a good ringtone. All right, verse 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, pay close attention to this, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. If I had a nickel for every time somebody saw something exciting and said, look, that's the kingdom, I'm going, it's nothing you can point to, bud. Okay, listen to this. It gets better. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, if you look at everything that we just read, it's the inside of you. It is not a program. It's not a building. It's not a language. It's not a book. It is in you. It is in you. I'm just going to blow through the results of those scriptures now that we know it's in us. The kingdom of God is a natural byproduct that grows in you. The kingdom of God is an open, inclusive place in you. The kingdom of God is love in you. The kingdom of God is an absolute devotion to the Lord in you. The kingdom of God is spiritual in you. The kingdom of God is emotional in you. The kingdom of God is inside you. Now, before I get to this story, which is going to mark you, a lot of times when we question what the kingdom is, we do what I just did, which was read the Gospels, because Jesus talks so much about the kingdom, and we see the kingdom demonstrated. And that's not wrong. But I want you to think of it this way. The epistles, who are those written to? Us. The epistles are the clockwork of the kingdom. They're all about the inside of you, are they not? Okay? So if we will get into the epistles, because that's what God's ultimately focused on. He is so intimately obsessed with what's going on in our hearts. He's an internal God. What is it? First Samuel 16:7? I don't look at the outward man, I look at the heart. God wasn't interested in David's size. He was looking right at the inside, right? So the epistles are the clockwork of the kingdom. If we can get into the epistles and see these letters that were written to us and walk in what's in those, believe what's in those, interface with what's in those, we will find the kingdom, those gears connect in us and begin working. Okay? So I just want you to look at it that way. It can be a little self-defeating to look at the Gospels and try to operate the kingdom. No. You need the clockwork. That's the epistles. Okay? Now, we ask the question, how do we participate in the kingdom of God? Knowing all of this, how do we participate? Here is how. Be who God has made you to be. I'm going to read you this story. Because, you know, when we talk about God's kingdom coming and his will being done, if it's not done in us, it will not be done around us. Right? And it's like so many times I get a little frustrated with this. You know, has anybody ever talked to somebody who's really panicky about evangelism? But judging by the laugh, so I'm hearing yes. Where they're like, we got to go out and win people. We got to go out and win people. Like, you're making me nervous. Seriously. You need to get a chill pill. Seriously. I don't like that stuff because it's cart before the horse to me. You ever heard of Peter the Hermit? Did I ever tell you guys that story? Great story. It was in that book, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity, for Karis. There was this guy. He was a monk. And he decided, I'm going to go live in a cave and read the Word of God until I die. He was secluded. He never went into town. He lived off the land. He was alone. The guy got so full of the Word of God, there was over 1,000 people gathered at his cave within 5 years. He couldn't run. People were having dreams and visions to go to this cave in the wilderness. And there's this guy full of the Word of God. See, if we do that part first, get right what's going on in here, it will be inescapable. Didn't Jesus say that there will be rivers flowing out of you? Not you having to go and force feed people the water you've drank? Because I don't like the high pressure sales tactic used when it comes to the Lord. It's ugly. I don't like it. Don't like it. So listen to this story. This is what the kingdom looks like, okay? This is the kingdom. In 978, Prince Vladimir the Great sent his emissaries to various countries to learn about their religions. Vladimir felt that Russia would become a unified nation if its people practiced one religion. As a result, the prince chose the Byzantine faith of Orthodox Christianity. Now, I've heard people cite this story and criticize Orthodox Christianity. Let's see what happened before we criticize, because what we're about to talk about was a church of about 300 people, and they changed a continent by what's about to happen. Okay, listen to this. They chose Christianity as the faith. Here's why he chose Christianity. He sent an envoy to Byzantine to study the Christian faith there. This is what they wrote back to Prince Vladimir. We went to Constantinople, to the place where they worshiped their God. We knew not whether we were on heaven or on earth. For on earth there is no such vision or beauty. We do not know how to describe it. We only know that God dwells among men. We cannot forget that beauty. Did they go and evangelize these emissaries? Did they go knocking on their door? They saw people who knew their God. That was it. Isn't that easy? So what I'm saying to you, the kingdom of God is in you. So don't be confused or discouraged when we talk about the kingdom of God coming. It's got to come in you. And how do you participate in the kingdom of God? You get alone. You pray. You read that book until he speaks. And you love your brothers and sisters. And when God has allowed that access and has that obedience, he does the rest. The kingdom is as if a seed, where it's sown and it grows by day and by night, and we don't know how. Am I reading scripture? We don't even know what God is doing under the soil. We just stay planted. Amen? That's the kingdom. This is a huge component of walking with God. Because we can get really, really good at being ingesters and never being a doer of the word. And it's not, I'm not saying that as a criticism, because I think the reason is a lot more honest within us. Is sometimes we don't know what to do. Am I right? We don't know what to do, where to go. We even hear, you know, to serve. And that's easy to do here at church. But this is one day a week. How do we do it out there? That's what I'm saying. Be who God's made you to be. Be in love with God. Be in love with people. Serve people. Bless people. In fact, let's go to Romans 12. This is a beautiful snapshot of the kingdom. Wasn't that story incredible? You realize what happened after that. Now, I'm going to tell you, Prince Vlad got it wrong. He forced Christianity on his nation. But the amount of people that came to Jesus is in the millions. All because one group of people just knew their God. Isn't that powerful? I want that. I want that. Romans 12. Let's go to verse 9. This is just such an encouraging, this is one of my favorite sets of scripture because it's so simple and encouraging and to the heart of being Jesus to other people, okay? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. This is where it gets great. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good in things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Those of us who've been hurt, this next part's hard. But it's powerful because it's so true. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Which is why I think God prepares a table in the presence of our enemies so that we can feed them. It's not to mock them. This is the kingdom. This is what it looks like. And you know what? I just want to say this to you guys. You guys look like the kingdom. I see people who love one another and honor one another and prefer one another and serve and tell the truth and worship God and give. It's a blessing to watch. I love it. I love it. So when I see people, I see the kingdom. But does that make it clear how to participate in the kingdom? Be who God's made you to be. Be in love with him. Amen. Is that super simple? I could have just said that, but it wouldn't have been nearly as impactful. Amen. Well, that's what I had for you. That's all. Amen. Does that bless you? Amen.